From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up is the jig up for big tech censorship. Conservative pro-lifers in Silicon Valley are blowing the whistle on big tech's deliberate effort to silence conservative pro-life voices. Pinterest is the latest, with information being leaked earlier this week that revealed how they blocked pro-life group Live Action. The employee responsible for blowing the whistle, Eric Cochran, was fired. He joins us here on Washington Watch in just a moment. Also, another border town in Texas declared itself a sanctuary city, but not the type you're probably thinking. 2 days after First Baptist Church of Wascom held a pro-life rally, the city council unanimously passed a resolution making Wascom a sanctuary city for the unborn. The pastor, Dr. Ivy Shelton, joins me. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the evidence points to Iran being behind the attacks on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Assistant to the President and Senior Advisor for Strategic Communications, Mercedes Slapp, is here with the latest. And back on Capitol Hill, Republicans have now asked for unanimous consent to vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act 56 times, and 56 times the Democrat majority has turned them down. As we've been discussing all week, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise is working with Congresswoman Ann Wagner to get a discharge petition through the House that would force a vote on the bill keeping America from going toward infanticide. Congressman Scalise joins us later here on Washington Watch with an update. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, just as we were just discussing what we're going to talk about later with Congressman Scalise, we've been focusing on all week. The discharge petition requires 218 signatures. Presently, 201 members of Congress have signed that discharge petition, 17 away from forcing Nancy Pelosi to have a vote on this bill that would stop infanticide in America. We need your help to get this across the line. We are sending, our plan is to send 90,000 of the thermal baby hats, the little newborn baby hats, the pink and blue, to Nancy Pelosi so that she cannot deny seeing the message. And that we're over halfway there. You can help us reach that goal. Today, we've got folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008. For every $9 you give, we'll send another newborn baby hat to get us to that goal of 90,000. We will not stop until we draw the line and then work our way back. Again, give us a call, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the End Birthday Abortion banner. All right, Eric Cochran, a Christian inside the tech world, blew the whistle on how Pinterest listed a top pro-life site as pornography, and also censored other conservative voices and Bible verses. He joins us now. Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
Eric, I watched your interview with Tucker Carlson last night. You say this is prevalent within the big tech social media world.
Yes. So the thing is, it's not just Pinterest. I mean, Pinterest is huge. But here's the thing. This is the mindset of people in Silicon Valley, where we're seeing the normalization of censorship. And the biggest thing, really the biggest thing, is that this is the all-out war on pro-lifers. This is the all-out war because the establishment, the powers that be, see that Roe v. Wade is going the way of the dinosaur. And they're doing whatever it takes. They are all in to protect the abortion lobby. You're seeing that in big tech, and you're seeing that in big media. And this is the story that has the proof from the back end. Where people see flukes, this is actually the proof where it's not just a fluke. There's actual literal censorship where they're saying that Live Action, liveaction.org, the biggest pro-life organization on social media right now, is misinformation. And they classified it as pornography to hide the fact they were saying that. But now with this report, they are going to be forced to say that they believe this is misinformation and conspiracies. And then what you're going to see is you're going to see all of big tech point to this and they're going to say, yes, that's where what we believe. And they're going to be forced to say that's their position.
Now, Eric, repeatedly we've seen when caught, the tech industry says, oh, that was a mistake. It was an accident. It got just temporarily held up. You know, we've seen that with Twitter. We've seen it with Facebook, with YouTube. But you're saying, no, that there is evidence, as you released here on Pinterest, that this is systematic and it is intentional.
Exactly. So systematic and intentional are exactly the right words. This is where you've seen things in the past where it's like, oh, maybe it was just a bug. Maybe it was just an accident. Oh, it was a rogue employee or something. This is where we have the proof where they added live action to a direct porn domain block list so that people wouldn't know why their links to live action weren't working on Pinterest. And then you saw people inside. You had the internal messages from the inside where people admit they know that this isn't porn, but they still want to leave it up. They still believe it should remain on the porn domain block list. And you're seeing where, you know, they have this giant sensitive terms list where they list things like Christian Easter on the sensitive terms list, where they say that that's not okay to put near any ads, and it becomes depopulated in your search and home feed. This is the proof. And so there's no more dismissing it as flukes anymore.
You know, Eric, I find this very interesting because Pinterest, you know, when I think about Pinterest, I think of people sharing recipes or ways to landscape your yard. It's a fairly innocuous website. You know, people post pictures, Bible verses, or at least apparently now try to. It's different than YouTube or Twitter, where people are getting into controversial issues. So for me, to see that Pinterest is intentionally doing this would suggest that the problem is much bigger in the tech world than we thought.
Exactly right. The thing is, Pinterest is even a microcosm of how Silicon Valley thinks. It shows you that it's so widespread that it's in everything. And Pinterest is a $12+ billion company. And this is what they think of conservatives and especially pro-lifers. And it's so indicative of their worldview that they just think this is normal stuff.
Well, Eric Cochran, let me ask you this. I think you made reference to this, but there are other pro-lifers, there are other conservatives working in the tech world, the Silicon Valley, and you've challenged them to come forward and show what is happening before this gets to a point where we have censored all conservative speech.
Yeah, that is my big message to all pro-lifers right now. This is the watershed moment. This is the time to see, to show people what's happening in big tech. People, we have so many pro-lifers in the tech world who know what Google and Facebook are doing, and I know there's so many people who have been afraid of what to do next, but I want to let you know, pro-lifers, in these tech companies that see this corruption and see this censorship, come to Project Veritas. People have your back. Real journalists, real investigative journalists are listening to your story. This is the watershed moment for the pro-life movement, because the abortion lobby is all in. Big tech is all in protecting the abortion lobby. So my question to pro-lifers is, are you all in? Because there's no more waiting. This is the moment.
So, Eric, what have you heard? I know it's relatively short since they showed you the door there, but what have you heard from any of your colleagues? Have you heard from other pro-lifers in the industry?
I've heard from other pro-lifers in the industry. From colleagues specifically, no. I think they know better than to talk to me right now.
So you think that there is a I'll use the word revolt, for a lack of a better term, within the industry of those conservative voices, pro-life voices that see what's happening and realize where this is headed. You think there's enough there to blow the lid off this censorship, this conspiracy in the high tech world, in the big tech world?
There really is. And as I've said before, it just takes one person. It really just takes one person to come forward and say, I've seen this wrongdoing. Come to Project Veritas. People are listening. People want to hear your story. And people have got your back 100%. And there's so many people, and all it really takes is taking the first step. Like, I know it's hard to get past the inertia and the fear of what might happen, but this is the thing that makes a difference in history. This is what you were put in your current job to do, because this is the stuff that's going to matter after you're gone.
Very good. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Eric Cochran, my guest. He is the one who has blown the whistle on Pinterest and their censoring of pro-life voices, in particular, our good friend Lila Rose. Let me ask you this, Eric. What was it that first kind of tipped you off to that this was happening? Was it obvious from day one when you started with Pinterest, or what was it that really started you to look to see what was really happening?
So, you know, I knew that, like, you know, big tech was doing some bad stuff and everything, but I was like, you know, oh, it's Pinterest. And I didn't really understand the full effect of the hive mind when I first started working at Pinterest. And then when I saw, especially as people were realizing that Roe v. Wade was going to be abolished and that, you know, more and more heartbeat bills were coming out, I was hearing more and more, like, our company all-hands meetings about misinformation campaigns and what we needed to stop misinformation and increase trust and safety and have safe content. And then I was like, okay, some things might be wrong. And then I started looking a little bit more, and yeah, and then there was some stuff that at first I was like, oh, Christian Easter, you know, maybe that's not so bad. And then it hit me. I was like, what? No, that's ridiculous. And then as I looked more and more, and then all the way up until live action being put secretly on a porn domain block list, that's where I was like, this is newsworthy stuff. People have to know what's going on. And so as I dug more and more, it just got worse and worse.
So, Eric, were there a couple of individuals responsible for determining what was, bad information, or was there a committee? How was this determined?
So on our core, like, trust and safety team, there were maybe a little over a dozen people who work specifically on that team. So, and the idea here is that it's also like I said, everybody's of the same worldview. So everybody agrees with everybody. And then people like me, of course, are afraid of what will happen if we say anything different. But I think that's going to change.
Well, I hope it does. It has to, because these platforms holding themselves out as virtual public squares are now very evident. The evidence is mounting. They are silencing the voice of conservatives. Eric, I want to commend you for speaking out. We're going to help try to drive your message out there across America so more hear it. We'll be talking to members of Congress about this, as well as more evidence of what's happening in Silicon Valley. Eric Cochran, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Eric Cochran. Blew the whistle on Pinterest for their pro-life biased position. We've been saying it's there. I mean, it's clear. But now you have, hopefully you'll have more and more insiders coming in saying, yes, exactly. All right, a new sanctuary city in Texas, but not the kind you're thinking of. We'll talk about it next. Don't go away.
Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more. If you're like me, you care about the future of our country. Now more than ever, it is vital that we stand up for biblical values. This year, you can. Come to the annual Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. on October 11th through the 13th and join thousands of Americans like you who want to change the culture so that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. This year, we're calling on Americans to pray, to vote, and to stand firm as we fight back to win the culture. Invited and confirmed speakers include Dana Lesh, Sebastian Gorka, Bill Bennett, Laura Ingraham, and Reverend Franklin Graham. Now is the time to stand for truth. There will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a biblical worldview on issues like religious liberty, the LGBT movement, the sanctity of life, the realities of socialism, and more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they are born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. Help us end birthday abortions as we seek to send a message to Nancy Pelosi with 90,000 newborn baby hats to be a part of that campaign. We've got folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Later in the program, Congressman Steve Scalise is going to join us to give us an update on the effort to get a discharge petition through the Congress to vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. All right. We talk a lot about the sanctuary cities. Well, the City Council of Wascom, Texas, voted unanimously on Tuesday to declare itself a sanctuary city for the unborn. Listen to this soundbite when the five-member council voted unanimously as the rest of the room erupted with cheers.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
The move by the city council came 2 days after a pro-life rally was held at the First Baptist Church in Wascom, Texas. Joining us now to talk about the city council vote is Dr. Ivy Shelton, pastor of First Baptist Church there in Wascom, Texas. Dr. Shelton, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's good to be with you today.
Give us the backstory here. What brought this about?
Well, a few weeks back, Mark Dixon, who is with East Texas Right for Life, called me and wanted to have lunch. And I met him in Shreveport. We're sort of right on the doorstep of Shreveport, Louisiana, and met him for lunch. And he visited with me a little bit about the work that they do at the abortion clinic over there. And they try to, persuade women to turn back from aborting their babies and give their babies a chance at life. And so we met together, and he informed me that in the years past, a couple of decades ago, there was some talk about Hope Abortion Clinic, which is oddly enough the name of the abortion clinic in Shreveport, some talk about them shutting down when the laws in Louisiana got more restrictive and sort of sneaking over the state line into Wascom. We're the last town in Texas on I-20 before you go into Louisiana. And so with that in mind, we had the thought, let's try to be, rather than be reactive towards this, let's try to be proactive towards this. And so he made contact with our city council, with our city secretary, et cetera, and began the process of putting a resolution and an ordinance in place. And then, of course, when this past Sunday got here, I preached a message Sunday morning in regards to why we are pro-life. And then we had the rally on Sunday night. And then Tuesday, they got the city council and the citizens of Wascom got to hear the resolution, the wording of the resolution and the ordinance. And, of course, as you just said, the city council voted unanimously to adopt that, making us a sanctuary city for the unborn.
Now, Dr. Shelton, I understand that two members of the city council attend your church. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Yes, sir.
So it wouldn't sound like to me that you try to avoid political or controversial issues.
No, and our main goal, of course, is not to get political, but our main goal is just to be scriptural. And so I just shared with our congregation the reasons that we are pro-life, and I took them to Jeremiah 1 and showed where God has plans for the unborn prior to their conception even, and went to Psalm 139 and shared with them how God is active in the pregnancy, as David said, knitting me together in my mother's womb, and then over to Luke 18 where Jesus says, allow the children to come to me, for to such these belong the kingdom of heaven. And so I wanted to show them all the reasons from Scripture why we are pro-life. And, of course, that was not a hard sell for our congregation. Our congregation is pro-life across the spectrum. We have folks that are engaged in this issue. We have folks that are engaged in foster care. You know, we've had young ladies that have decided to have their babies, and their parents, the grandparents, then have stepped in and helped them raise their children. So just across the spectrum, we try to be pro-life as a church. And so the church was just awesome with all of this.
I mean, but isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Pastors
Absolutely.
Are supposed to preach the word of God. The people in
yeah.
the pews then act upon the word that they've heard. I mean, if I think you have pastors have a responsibility. I'm excited to see in your church you've got members that are serving in the community on the city council. I imagine you've probably got some teachers and others. And that's what pastors are to do. They've got to help people understand how the Word of God applies to the world in which we live today.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think we're supposed to be salt and light in our culture, and we want to be a part of the public discourse and bring the Word of God to that public discourse. And I think for too often, just in general, the church has been on the sidelines, and I think it's time that we get off the sidelines and we get into that public discourse.
Well, I think the evidence all around us suggests that is absolutely true. I think that's why we have the cultural chaos that we do, is because the church and pastors in particular have self-censored. They've silenced themselves out of fear of offending in some cases or being criticized.
Right. And, you know, I really admired our city council because we come to this with the full knowledge that, you know, Satan is not going to be happy with this measure, and he will be actively working within the systems that he influences to come against us. It will be a battle. I think our mayor said it well, that we will no doubt be sued over this, and, you know, there'll be a court battle, and it's one that we are expecting. But that's, you know, that's okay. That's not the thing that we spend our time worrying about. Mainly, we just want to keep our focus on Christ, and we believe that he'll take care of us in all of this.
Well, here's my prediction, Dr. Shelton, that this will inspire other city councils and other pastors, other leaders, to take a stand for life, because courage breeds courage. So thank you for leading a courageous effort.
Well, and I've got so many courageous people and a courageous city council, and I'm just blessed by them. I'm telling you, God has just really blessed us here in Wascom.
Well, Dr. Shelton, thanks so much for joining us today, and I appreciate the update.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you. God bless.
All right. Dr. Ivy Shelton, pastor of First Baptist Church in Wascom, Texas. Wascom now a sanctuary city for the unborn. All right, when we come back, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pointing to Iran as being responsible for the attack on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. We talk about it with Mercedes Schlapp, White House spokesman, assistant to the president. Next, don't go away.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they are born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive. Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you once again that this week, focusing on pushing forward on the discharge petition to ensure that America does not go the path that the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, wants to take us with infanticide, birthday abortions. We are pushing hard, working with Republican leadership to get a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. We're going to be talking a little bit later with Congressman Steve Scalise, who, along with Ann Wagner, have filed the discharge petition. 201 signatures thus far, 218 needed. Help us get this across the line by joining the in-birthday abortion campaign. To find out more, give us a call, 800-225-4008. 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the End Birthday Abortion banner. All right. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pointing to Iran as being responsible for the attack near the Strait of Hormuz earlier today on two tankers. Here is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo earlier today.
It is the assessment of the United States government that the Islamic Republic of Iran is responsible for the attacks that occurred in the Gulf of Oman today. This assessment is based on intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation, recent similar Iranian attacks on shipping, and the fact that no proxy group operating in the area has the resources and proficiency to act with such a high degree of sophistication.
Is tensions elevating in that region between the United States and Iran? The USS Bainbridge had reportedly rescued 21 of the 44 stricken sailors involved in the incident near the Strait of Hormuz. Those efforts, information still coming in. I think we're going to be joined here in just a moment from Mercedes Schlapp, assistant to the president and senior advisor for strategic communications. She was in a meeting, I think, with the president. And I think she joins us now. Mercedes Schlapp, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having
me. All right, we're just talking about the Secretary of State has a sound clip from him earlier today saying the evidence points to Iran being behind the attack on the tankers. What else do we know at this point?
Well, the Secretary Pompeo addressed this issue today based on his assessment, what he's seen. We know that Iran is responsible for the attacks. And this is the latest in the series of attacks instigated by Iran and its surrogates against American and allied interest. So we're going to be watching this closely. But again, we have made it very clear, and Pompeo made it very clear today, that it is Iran who is responsible for the attacks.
Can we expect to see some type of response from the United States at this point?
You know, I think at this point, our goal is obviously to defend our forces, our interests, and stand with our allies to safeguard global commerce and regional stability. And you know, at this point, we're looking at what we could do. I don't have any. I don't want to get ahead of the president and his decisions on Iran.
Sure. Well, I want to move on to the other topic we were actually originally going to talk about until this occurred, but I did want to get the latest on that. But the administration earlier in the week putting out a statement of administration policy on one of these huge funding bills, H.R. 2740. They call it a minibus, but it's an awful big bus to me. Nearly $1 trillion on board, and it basically runs over most of the president's conservative advancements, especially his pro-life advancements, conscience protections, religious freedoms. The Democratic majority trying to throw those things under the bus, but the president saying, not so fast.
You know, the Democrats are pushing such an extreme agenda, and we strongly oppose any of the amendments that the House Democrats are pushing forward on the appropriation bills. You know, when you look at the fact that they want to prevent Title 10, they want to try to block the administration's rule that prevents Title 10 funds from supporting family planning programs that perform abortions. They also want to block initiatives that protect the conscious rights of Americans who believe in the sanctity of life. And they want to roll back the president's expanded Mexico City policy that we know prevents foreign aid from being used to support abortions. I mean, these Democrats are so predictable in their complete obsession with not only pushing forward a radical abortion agenda, as we know, but also going after those who really just want to practice their faith. And I mean, this is something that the Democrats they are intolerant of those of us who are religious, who love God, read the Bible, and make sure that we stay committed to the values of this great country, which is that of protecting the sanctity of life.
And the message from the president going over from the White House in this SAP is that we oppose this, and the president previously saying he will veto anything that rolls back his pro-life initiatives.
That's correct. And I mean, the president has made that very clear. He had sent a letter to Congress making that statement. And, you know, this president is very focused on protecting religious liberties and protecting the sanctity of life.
Mercedes Schlapp, thanks so much for taking a few moments to join us on this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Mercedes Schlapp, assistant to the president. All right. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the minority whip, Steve Scalise, who, speaking of the life issue, has been working hard to get the discharge petition through Congress so that we can be assured that America is not going to go the path that Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to take us down the path of infanticide. Congressman Scalise joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleason, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
If you're like me, you care about the future of our country. Now more than ever, it is vital that we stand up for biblical values. This year, you can. Come to the annual Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. on October 11th through the 13th and join thousands of Americans like you who want to change the culture so that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. This year, we're calling on Americans to pray, to vote, and to stand firm as we fight back to win the culture. Invited and confirmed speakers include Dana Lesh, Sebastian Gorka, Bill Bennett, Laura Ingraham, and Reverend Franklin Graham. Now is the time to stand for truth. There will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a biblical worldview on issues like religious liberty, the LGBT movement, the sanctity of life, the realities of socialism, and more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they are born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. If you missed anything on your way home tonight, have stopped and get a loaf of bread or something, you missed something, you can catch it all later at tonyperkins.com. It's all archived. In fact, I would encourage you, if you missed our earlier interview with Eric Cochran, the whistleblower at Pinterest, you'll want to hear that. Very revealing about what is happening in the big tech world and how they are censoring conservative voices, pro-life voices, biblical, I mean, even, you know, trying to block Bible verses. That's what's happening in the big tech world. So if you missed that, you'll want to catch that later. All right, let me again, Ryan, you got folks standing by to take your call to join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign, 800-225-4008. 201 members have signed the discharge petition. 218 are required. 17 more signatures. Now, this campaign, what we're doing is we're using this to bring attention to the issue. And we are going to deliver 90,000 of these baby hats to Nancy Pelosi. We're over halfway there. About 47,000 have been collected. And when we get to 90,000, we're going to take them all up there. But what we're doing with the campaign as well, as we're using this as an opportunity to communicate with those members that are in districts that should be signing this discharge petition. We're committed to getting a vote, and we believe if we can get this on the floor and get a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, that we can pass it and draw a bright line that keeps America from going the way of infanticide. And this kind of goes back to the conversation Eric brought up earlier, when he was talking about how the left is going crazy because they're fearful that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. Technically, you know, Roe v. Wade was whittled away at by Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And so it's already on its way out. But the court is lined up to send this issue back to the states. And so the left is doing everything they can to secure abortion and take us places we would never want to go, like infanticide. So help us. We've got folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008. All right, 56 times, Republicans have gone to the floor asking for unanimous consent to vote on this bill, just allow a vote 56 times. And 56 times they have been turned away. Here's what happened the last time.
The gentleman has advised that under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and the House Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Now, it was Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina that offered a unanimous consent request yesterday, the 56th time, and it was turned down by Democrat G.K. Butterfield of North Carolina. 56 times. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is a discharge petition. Joining me now to talk about that is our good friend Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always good to be back with you. I appreciate it. And if you bear with me, I'm on a train between Philadelphia and New York. So hopefully the line holds up.
Yeah, I've been there many times, so I know how that goes. Let me ask you this. We're just discussing 201 signatures, 17 more needed to get the discharge petition through and a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act on the House floor. What else is it going to take? Do we see 17 more members of the House willing to sign?
Tony, I know this. There are at least 17 more members who haven't signed, who have said that they're pro-life. And as you know, and I'm sure most of your listeners know, if you want to really stand up for life, the most clear and obvious way to do it is to say if a baby is born alive outside the womb, it can't be murdered. And it is murder. It's not abortion if that happens. And the only way to ensure that we protect those babies' lives is if you sign the discharge petition. Don't say you're pro-life if you haven't signed the discharge petition. And so ask if you're a member of Congress to sign. And I think a lot of people would be surprised that the person that they either elected or who represents them hasn't signed it yet says they're pro-life. And they need to get phone calls every day from people in their district saying, sign this petition if you claim to be pro-life. And that they'll heed that call if they get that call. And I think a lot of them aren't hearing from people right now.
Yeah, and folks, to make it really easy, there's a list on Congressman Scalise's website. In fact, to make it easy, just go to TonyPerkins.com, and there at the top you'll see track the signatures on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act discharge petition. Just click on that, and it will take you over to Steve's website where you will see all of the names of the 201 members who have signed it, the latest being Tuesday, June the 4th, Fred Keller of Pennsylvania, the last one to sign it, 17 more needed. And that's the way to do it, Steve, is just to contact your member of Congress and ask them, why have you not stood on the side of ending infanticide?
That's exactly right, Tony. And believe me, this is something that can happen. It's uphill if people aren't engaged with their members of Congress, and they see their member of Congress is not on that list. Don't just call yourself. Tell all of your friends in your church groups, in your neighborhood groups. If they hear their phone ringing and hundreds of people call and say, you ran and said you were pro-life, the only way to prove it is to sign this discharge petition, they'll be pressed hard to sign it. And there are other Democrats on the list, so they can't claim that, you know, Nancy Pelosi won't let them. That's frankly what they're afraid of. They're more afraid right now, Tony, of Nancy Pelosi than they are the people back home who they ran pro-life before. And it's a shame to say that, but that's the truth. And if they hear from enough people, I have no doubt we can get to 218.
I agree with you. I think we can. I think we can pass this bill. I think we can get it to the president's desk. And I think we have to. I think this is critical to draw this bright line.
Bill, I've talked to President Trump. I know you've talked to the president about this. He wants this bill on his desk. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want it to get to his desk, but we can go around Nancy Pelosi with this one legislative tool, and we're literally just 17 signatures away, and it's achievable. And again, there are more than 17 Democrats who every Republican signed now. Three Democrats have signed. All it takes is another 17 Democrats and that bill will come up to the House floor for a vote and pass. And it'll pass by a large margin, but it doesn't happen if we don't get another 17 signatures.
Steve Scalise, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for your dogged, committed effort on this to keep America from going down this path of an infanticide. So thanks so much. Safe travels.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
All right. Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana. All right. We've just got a few minutes, but here's what I'd like to do. If you have contacted your member of Congress about this and gotten a response, I'd like to know. Give me a call, 866-372-7234, just on the discharge petition. Have you contacted your member of Congress and asked them where they stand on this or if they have signed it? And if you've gotten a response, I'd like to hear from you, 866-372-7234. Now, if you've not yet contacted your member of Congress, you should. We're at a critical point here. We need to move this forward. The closer we get to the election, you know, people can say, no, it's a political issue, No, we this is essential. We've got to get this done. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. You say, well, I'm not sure who my member of Congress is. That's fine. I mean, you should, but if you don't, that's okay. If you know your zip code number, which I sometimes have a harder time remembering my zip code than my member of Congress, but if you know your zip code number, just give them your zip code and they will connect you with your member of Congress. And you can just say, and you'll talk to a member of the staff. And all you need to do is say, I'm Joe Smith. I live in the district and I'm calling to find out where Congressman Jones stands on the discharge petition for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Or you can just say, Scalise's discharge petition. Is the congressman supportive of that? And they should be able to give you an answer. And if they say, yes, he signed it, thank you. I'm grateful for that. If they say, well, he's thinking about it. Well, how much time do you need to think about it? This was discharge petition was released on April the 2nd. We're now almost halfway into June. It's real clear. You don't need a lot of time. So I would encourage Congressman Jones to sign this. And you can also help us in this effort by joining the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. For every $9 that you give, we will add to our collection of baby hats, roughly 47,000 so far, headed to 90,000. And we're going to deliver this. I'm going to work with Congressman Scalise and some of the others, and we're going to take them to Capitol Hill and present those to Nancy Pelosi so that it will be a very visible message to end birthday abortions. Again, you can be a part of that. And you say, well, you know, what are you going to do with this? Well, also, we are using this to go and communicate with those 17 remaining. We've been communicating with others, but since we launched the program, the campaign, but we're going to continue to communicate with these remaining 17 members that we need to sign this petition. And simply what we're doing is we're helping constituents contact their members of Congress that live in districts that are pro-life and conservative-leaning districts where some of these new members from the Democratic Party ran, you know, kind of pro-lifers, and they barely won. And so they're not necessarily reflecting the district when they stand with Nancy Pelosi in support of infanticide. So that's what that's a part of the campaign as well. So you can be a part of that. You can help us get this done. And again, this is not just an effort in symbolism. This is not just to make noise. This is to solve a problem, and I think this is a big one, because the effort here, and I'm going to look at this. I'm going to step back for just a moment from a spiritual perspective, as we see state by state pushing to embrace life, like the town of Wascom, Texas, declaring their city a sanctuary city, banning abortion, and calling the activities of Planned Parenthood and others criminal activity. As I mentioned yesterday, I think that's what it's kind of what repentance looks like. We've talked about praying for and repenting for abortion. Well, repentance, actually in the Greek, metanoia, means to change, means to turn. And you do the opposite. And that's what many of these states are doing across the nation. So what's happening? Well, you've got those on the left pushing to lock America in even into a more radical view of life and death by, as Congressman Scalise said, murdering babies who survive an attempted abortion. This is an effort to push us in a radical direction. We have to push back. We have to prevail. We have to. And so we are all in. And I hope you will be all in helping us end birthday abortions in America. I make no apologies about it. And you say, well, this is a political issue. You heard what Dr. Shelton, pastor of First Baptist Wascom, said. These are spiritual issues. These are biblical issues. We have an obligation, a responsibility to speak truth and to stand for truth lovingly, compassionately, but we must speak it and we must stand for it. We must defend the defenseless. And this is the first place. This is the first step. We've got to turn abortion back. And we end this this effort of infanticide and we draw a line. No more. And then we work our way back, as we have been for over 40 years, moving America back to being a predominantly pro-life nation. Through prayer, yes. Through activism, yes. Through caring for the unwed mothers, adoption, foster care for the babies, yes. All of that, the Care Pregnancy Centers, which is a massive movement that has really changed this debate, support them. But we also have to change the laws. That's a part of it as well. So help us with the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. Folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008. 800-225-4008. Or at any time, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And click on the End Birthday Abortion banner and join us in getting the discharge petition, the 218 signatures necessary to get this onto the House floor. All right, you hear the music. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. Where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.